Let's come back to his place of dwelling. Amen. I know he dwells in our heart, but this is a good meeting place for the children of God and God. Amen. And we get together with him. That's a joy, isn't it? I mean, it really is to be able to gather together with him and to come together for the one purpose. And that's not to see each other, not to see what each other's wearing or anything like that. It's our purpose is, my friend, to come together to glorify him, to worship him, to praise him, just to adore him for a while. Amen. That's always good, always encouraging. And we praise the Lord for that. And I tell you, we've got a good crowd tonight. Got some folks that are getting revived. They're moving up front. The rest of you still backslidden, looks like to me. But and we're glad. Praise the Lord for that. And we just thank God for his goodness throughout this day. If you'll open your Bibles tonight again to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. It seems like the older I get, the harder it is to preach a message. Yeah, I mean that. And what I mean by that, I get started and it seems like it takes me a long time to get my introduction. And I remember when I first started preaching, I was, about the time I got stood up behind the pulpit, I was on the last point. And now I have a hard time getting to point number one. Amen. And my son, when he first surrendered to preach, he'd go and preach. And every once in a while, they'd invite us in to preach together. And he'd get up to preach and he'd always tell them, he'd say, "Now I won't take as long as my dad because I don't have all them stories to tell." He said, "But one day I will." And so I heard him here a while back and he's got a lot of stories to tell. So I'm proud of him. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse number 6. If you'll stand with us tonight, if you're able to, if you're not, we understand that. But we'd like to do that in reverence to the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your precious word. We thank you, dear Lord, God, that it is still ringing true tonight in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you, God, again, that it is still forever settled in heaven. It will be this time tomorrow night, and this time 10 years from now, 100 years, 1,000 years, and yea, throughout all eternity, your word will always be settled in heaven. Thank you, Lord, God, for this blessed assurance that we have in your word. I pray now tonight that you once again will speak to our hearts. We thank you for the work that your sweet Holy Spirit has been doing in our midst. We ask you, Lord, if you will, continue. I know you want to. I know you want to help us, Lord, as we struggle alone in life. You want to encourage us and lift us up. I pray tonight, Lord, that we would let you. Lord, I know that you want to save those that are lost. And so tonight, Father, we lift them up before you and ask you again, Lord, that those that are here with us tonight in this service that do not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, they do not know that their sins are forgiven. Lord, I pray this would be the night, Lord, that they'd come and trust you and let you take their sins and wash them away through the blood of Jesus. Father, I pray tonight for that Christian that is down and out and discouraged, going through a valley of despair, Lord, as we find David here, Lord, all distressed. I pray, God, tonight for that one or two individuals, Lord, ever how many there might be in this service tonight, that you once again would encourage them tonight. Lord, have thine own way. Preach to us, Lord. We sure need your hand upon us tonight. Would you help us and guide us through the Holy Spirit tonight? We'll certainly thank you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We started Sunday on a message preaching about making the right choice. And we preached Sunday morning, Sunday night on that and trying to get us to make the right choice. The right choice, my friend, will make a world of difference in our life. And I'm sure there's many choices. We didn't get into that, but there are many choices in life. And we need to always make those that are right. Amen. I mean, we need to make sure we're close enough to God that we can feel his leadership as he leads us in making right choices. And praise the Lord, some of you have made those choices this week. I'm serious. You've already started. You made the decision Sunday morning. You was coming back Sunday night. And as Brother Randy said, purposed in your heart that that's what you're going to do this week. And some of you have done that. You've had to, some of you have had, actually, you went ahead and already had plans before Sunday. And because of God speaking to your heart Sunday, you've changed your plans and you're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. I don't know what else we want, Christians. We talk about wanting revival. That's what it is. Amen. We're still sitting around, No, that's what revival is about. When God moves on our hearts and we begin to make those right choices. Amen. Then we started with David last night, begin to talk about David, how he was discouraged and how he was down in despair and the reasons for all of that and everything. And then the Bible tells us there at the end of that verse that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we kind of hit that real hard, how that sometimes there's no one around to encourage us. So we need to know how to encourage ourselves. Amen. And the key to that is in the Lord. Amen. And so God's there to help us. And my friend, but you know what? I got to thinking about that today and how that David didn't have anyone. And well, thank God for the church. Amen. Thank God for the church. I mean, if we're the right kind of church, folks, listen, there will be times when we come to those places in our life where there's no one around to encourage us, to lift us up. Amen. To motivate us. Amen. To challenge us. Amen. And there'll be those times, but most of the time, we have good brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise the Lord. That's what the church is about. Amen. I mean, to encourage one another. And I thank the Lord for that. Encouragement is so important in our life. If you're discouraged, you're no good to God. Amen. If you're discouraged, you're no good to yourself. If you're discouraged, you're no good to anyone else around you. Amen. Does this look like I'm a blessing to everybody else? Well, that's what discouragement looks like. And I'm seeing a little of it tonight. Amen. But we need to be encouraging one to another. And that encouragement, I looked up the word encouraged. I looked up the word cheer. And the two words mean a lot of times the definitions are the same. They are. You look it up in your dictionary. Amen. And you'll find out that a lot of times in there, it'll give the same word for encouraged. It'll give the same word for cheer. As a matter of fact, one of the meanings of the word encouraged is to cheer up. And one of the meanings of the word cheer is to be encouraged. Amen. And so if we're encouraged, we'll be cheerful. Amen. I said, amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to have to change some batteries before we can get going tonight. Amen. But we need to have good cheer. I get to thinking about that. Look with me right quick. We'll get to the message in a minute. These stories I've got. Proverbs chapter number 12. Look with me in Proverbs chapter number 12. I'm getting there. Proverbs chapter number 12. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Proverbs 12, 25. My heart's desire. Now listen to me. My heart, I have no desire. Y'all have heard me say this before. But it never has been my heartbeat, my desire to be the greatest evangelist there is. Because I know I'd fall short. Amen. But I'll tell you what my heart's goal is to be an encourager. I'm serious. I want to be someone that encourages others. Amen. I never have like those folks that like to discourage everybody. You know, I mean, you're having a pretty good day and you run up against one up and, you know, you begin to talk. And by the time you leave them, man, I mean, you're saying, how do you commit suicide? Here, let me Google that right quick. Amen. I don't like that. I like to be around folks that are encouraged, that are of good cheer. I like that. I just do. And I know sometimes I come across like, well, Brother Danny, all you want us to do is to shout and holler. Yeah. Amen. No. I believe in shouting and hollering. Amen. I like to do that. But I know this. I've been around some of you that you're not a shouter. I mean, it don't... I could walk up to you with a 40-pound hammer. And we could stand there and just talking. And I could ease it over like this, right over your foot, and drop it. And it hit you on the foot and you go, amen. You just don't have much emotions. Others are going to go, oh, are you crazy? What is wrong? Amen. But I've been around some of you. You're not a shouter. But your cup is so full. You're running over. You may not be shouting. But you're so excited about the things of God. The things of the Lord are just so real in your life. And, I mean, you're just happy as you can be. You may not shout about it, but you're just, woo, inside. What's that? That's a woo. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. But listen, we need to be of good cheer. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. You know what that means, don't you? Mope about, drag around. Huh? But look what else it says. But a good word maketh it glad. Instead of making the heart droop, stoop, it'll make the heart glad. Amen. Be of good cheer. Look with me in Proverbs chapter number 15 and verse number 13. Chapter 15 and verse number 13, the Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. You know why a lot of us are broken tonight? My friend, listen to me. Because we always go around with a sorrowful attitude. What does it mean, sorrowful? It doesn't mean I'm sorry. It means that you're sorry. It means that you're sorrowing. Sadness, okay? It's talking about sadness. You say, but Brother Danny, now, I've heard you say that we're all going to suffer, you know, temptations are going to come our way, and trials are going to come our way, and troubles and tribulations are going to come our way. I've heard you say that in preaching. I've heard you say it many times. Yes, but wait just a second. That don't mean you got to always be sorrowing. Amen. We ought to be of good cheer. It is possible to go through all kinds of problems in life and not be sorrowing, but be cheerful. It is possible. Amen. Look with me one more, and we'll go on with the message. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. Some of you are saying, you ought to use, well, I'm using it. Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Dr. God says, be of good cheer. What's ailing you tonight? I'll tell you what. Dr. God would say, hey, whatever's ailing you, take a dose of good cheer. It'll help you out. Look else, what else he says. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. Have you noticed in the scriptures that when it's talking about cheer is good, but the opposite of cheer is always bad? Amen. We need to learn to be of good cheer. We don't have to shout. We don't have to run the aisles. Amen. We don't have to even go, well, glory. But you can. Do we have to go through that again this year? You don't have to, but you can. Amen. See, we're the persuasion. Some are the persuasion that you got to. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to. We do have liberty in Jesus. Amen. But then the other persuasion is this. You got to, or you shouldn't do it at all. Somewhere in between here is the place where we ought to be. You can, but you don't have to. You don't have to, but you can. Amen? We ought to be at that place where we can enjoy this great salvation that God's given us. I'm not intimidated by any of you by any means. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but I am not. I remember when we first started coming up here, it was rough. I'm not kidding you. It was rough. I remember Miss Pam and I and our three children would stand up here on the platform and we'd sing as a family. And I know we weren't all that good. I'm not talking about that. But surely we wasn't as bad as y'all let on that we were. Because it was tough. I'm serious. Listen, I'm just glad that it's not about me or you, but it's about Him. And I'm glad, see, instead of letting you intimidate me to the point where, open your Bibles tonight, I don't feel like I have to do that. And I've noticed something. I've not intimidated you either. Because though I try to get you to, wow, you don't do it. Amen. But that's all right. See, it's not about that. But it is about being of good cheer. This world needs to see Christians as people of good cheer. In a world that is full of sadness and heartache, this world needs to see some folks that have the love of Jesus. Where? Down in their heart. Amen. And that's what we need. We need this cheer tonight. I want us to talk about be of good cheer. We will do that tonight. Look with me in Matthew chapter and number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Be of good cheer. Amen. And sometimes this is hard to do, my friend, until we stop and back up and realize, hey, God said be of good cheer. If He told me to do it, then it's possible to do it. Amen. We need to understand, folks, it's not Danny Long that has to be of good cheer. Are you listening? It's not me that has to be of good cheer. It's God in me that is of good cheer. Amen. I face problems just like you do, and I am flesh and bone just like you are. But God in me says rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. So you know what I can do? You know what? It is possible for Danny Long, old flesh and blood just like you. It is possible for me to be of good cheer. So it is with you. So it is with you. In Matthew chapter number 9, the Bible gives us the story. We're going to be talking about a few tonight, about four or five different ones. The Lord gives us time too, we will. But we won't read all the stories, but look in verse, all of the story. But look in chapter 9 and verse number 2. The Bible says, behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now notice what the Lord is saying to this man as His friends bring him to Jesus, because he can't get there on his own. He's lame, he can't walk, and they bring him on his bed and maybe a cot of some kind, but they bring him there, and we know the story, we won't go into all of that. But as they get him there, Jesus looks at him and says, son, be of good cheer. Now, I'm looking at this thing. I'm reading this, and I'm trying to develop the pictures that's going on, the movie, if you will, the DVD that's going on during this time. And I see a man that is afflicted. I mean, listen, he's never, it looks like he's never gotten up and walked before. Now, what's the sad, that you say, well, that wouldn't be too bad if you've never done it. Oh, but to see others walking and going, walking and getting a drink of water, walking and getting something to eat, walking to someone and fellowshipping with them, and yet he never gets to do that. That's got to be sad. Amen. That's got to be sad. he sees boys and girls, little children running and playing. And all they're running and playing. You watch these kids as they run around here. Don't encourage them to do it. But as they run around here, watch them run and play. You notice they never run and play going. They're always, you can't get to me. You can't get to me. They're laughing and having a good time. Can you imagine lying on a bed of affliction and never getting up, never experienced that in your life? Yet seeing others doing all of that, that's got to be tough. And this man's lying there. And Jesus, now listen to me. The Lord knows my heart. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm trying to make a point. And the Lord Jesus Christ has the nerve to say to him, be of good cheer. He's still on the bed of affliction. He's not, the Lord didn't say get up and run and play. He's still on that bed of affliction. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. The Lord didn't heal him. You say, yes, he did. No, he did not at this point. Yet Jesus said to him, be of good cheer. Why can you see that man? What do you mean, be of good cheer? You've not done anything for me. What do you mean, be of good cheer? Nothing has changed. I'm still lying here on this bed. I still can't walk around and get around like everybody else can. And yet you said, be of good cheer. But there was a reason Jesus said, be of good cheer. Notice he didn't just say, be of good cheer. Well, that's not much help, is it? Everybody just laugh. That ain't much help, is it? There's got to be a reason. He said, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. You know what I found out? It don't matter whether he puts fingers back on the nub or not. Amen. I'd still be of good cheer. You know why? Because my sins are forgiven. You say, well, I don't have nothing to shout about. Boy, my family's a mess. And you're probably the reason why they are. Everything just falls apart in my life. Like, let me ask you a question. Are your sins forgiven? Woo! Then you ought to be of good cheer. You say, but Brother Danny, everything else is a mess. Maybe everything else is. But are your sins forgiven? That's the most important thing. Amen. That man may have never gotten off that bed of affliction. Jesus, I don't believe Jesus intended on healing him. Y'all can argue if you want to. That's the reason y'all got silent, because you're disagreeing with me. If that was the Lord's goal, he would have done it first. This is yes. This is no. And this is, I don't agree. All right? Listen to me. Jesus was making the point. Sir, the greatest of all miracles is not healing you where you can get up and walk, but forgiving you of your sins is the greatest of miracles. That's enough, and that alone is enough to be of good cheer. Amen? And because of the others, because of the others reasoning in their hearts, the Bible says, then he said to him, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But it was because of the others. It wasn't for that man's sake. Why? Listen to me. I don't have to have fingers on my right hand to rejoice in the Lord. But one day I'm going to have fingers on my right hand. Amen. This old boy, he never had to walk on earth, because one day he's going to take his first step in heaven. I believe Fanny Crosby said something about that concerning her sight. Amen? She wasn't so wrapped up in getting her sight. She said, the first thing I want to behold is my Savior. Whoa, what a precious thought that is. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, we ought to be of good cheer tonight. How many of you say, will you do this? Wave it a little bit. Just go ahead, just wave it a little bit. A little bit more. Devil, the Bible says the devil is the prince of the power of the air. You're just shaking that hand of victory in your life, in his face. Amen. Listen, because of this, we ought to be of good cheer. Amen. Well, Brother Danny, well, I don't know what's going to happen this next election. I'll be glad when this stinking thing's over with, so I don't have to mention it anymore. Amen. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen either, but I'm going to tell you, on the day of election, I'm going to still be of good cheer. And the day after election, I'm going to be even be in better cheer, because we might be at home with Jesus. Amen. Oh, we ought to be of good cheer. Jesus said to him, be of good cheer. Why? Why, Lord, here I am. I still can't get up and walk. Why should I be of good cheer? Some of us are around here. Brother Mike's back there. Bless his heart. Whoa, that song a while ago. Brother Danny, you got to be careful on that song. That verse you added in there where it had all them words like it. Folks like Brother Mike are killed over. And their health is too bad to be a singing all that. What you need to do is make you a list and tell those folks you don't have to sing this verse. Amen. Because some of them are check out. Amen. But I look, Brother Mike is there, bless his heart. Isn't it good to see him in the service tonight? Amen. What would be better is have his wife here. But I guess if we can't have her, he's all right. But I look back there and I see him, and I say, praise the Lord. I mean, he might say, well, Brother Danny, I don't have... Now, I know this is not true of him, all right? But he could be saying, I don't have anything to rejoice about. Man, I can't hardly get around anymore, and I'm having a hard time with this and that and the other. The doctor's saying this, the doctor's saying... No. I didn't talk with him. You know what I found out about that man? He's still of good cheer. I got a feeling it's not because he's doing so great health-wise, but because it's sin. Sir?
Your message is going.
Well, amen. Well, what do you mean? You think you can get up and walk out? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Oh, amen. This is for you. Everybody else, you're dismissed. Listen. It's not about that, is it, Brother Mike? About all this kind of stuff. It's about what's going on right here. Thy sins are forgiven thee. You listen to me. You have no reason. You have no right to sit there tonight. No matter what's going on in your life, if you're a child of God, you have no right tonight to sit there going, oh, poochy mouth. What's wrong? Well, I'm having a tough time. So, grow up. Who's not having a tough time? Amen. But be of good cheer. Well, why? Because thy sins are forgiven thee. That's about the bestest reason I can think of to be excited for the Lord. Then look over in Matthew chapter number 14. And we have preached these verses before, but look in chapter 14. Matthew chapter number 14, beginning with verse number 22, we find the story where, well, we'll just look at it real quick, go down through there. The Bible tells us that Jesus constrained his disciples in verse 22 to get in the ship, go to the other side. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up in the mountain to pray for them. And then in verse 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw him, talking about Jesus walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. You see what's going on in their life? They're facing storms like you and I. Now, I know theirs is a literal storm. But we have storms of life too. It may not have thundering and lightning and rain and all that kind of stuff, but it's times, my friend, where we get afraid. Because we don't understand what's going on. And the bad thing about a storm is we have no control. You can't stop the wind from blowing. You can't keep the hail from doing damage. You can't, listen to me, that lightning, you cannot stop the lightning from getting you no matter where you hide. Amen. You know, down south, we call them storm pits. And I guess the reason is because they're pits. They'll dig a hole in the side of the ground where there's a hill maybe, and they'll lay block in there, and then they'll put a rooftop over that with maybe cement, and then they'll cover it back up with dirt, and we call that a storm pit. Some folks call them a storm cellar, but whatever you call it, it's the same thing. It's a place to get in out of the storms. Tornadoes coming through, they say that's one of the safest places to be. But you know what has happened? Every once in a while you'll hear about it. Folks were in their storm pit, storm cellar, whatever we call it, and they were killed in there. You can't get away from a storm. Folks have went and got in their basement only to have the house blown in on them. That's the fearful thing about a storm. It's kind of like us with a spiritual storm. We have no control over it. The devil's just playing havoc with us, my friend, and he's toying with us in a spiritual storm, and we just don't know how to fight the battle because, my friend, there's nothing that you and I can do with our hands, and it's scary. The disciples are in that condition right now. They're going through this right now in their life, and Jesus comes along, the Bible says, walking on the water. Isn't that precious? He comes along walking on the water. And when they see him, they do not recognize him as being Jesus. They only see him and think that he's a spirit of some kind. Amen. And they were so afraid. I believe they were afraid of the storm. Common sense tells me that. But their greatest fear was that they did not recognize who Jesus was. But notice what the Lord said to them. There in verse number 27. But straightway, that means immediately, quickly, right now, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Well, again, this ain't worth nothing. Be of good cheer. Did that help you any? See, those words, be of good cheer, there's always got to be something behind it that makes that so important. Amen. There's a reason for being of good cheer. Because Jesus says in verse 27, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Now there's the reason to be of good cheer. It's not just because somebody said, won't just half the congregation, won't y'all just be of good cheer. Y'all go ahead and be like whatever you want to be. But they're of good cheer. What's this about? Well, they're just being of good cheer. No, there's a reason. Because Jesus is with you. Amen? Because Jesus... Folks, listen to me again. Those storms of life come upon us. What do we do? Oh, I don't know what to do. That's where most Christians are. They're like... Listen, these are the disciples. Remember reading that in there? This is the disciples. This is not just a bunch of guys out here. One day that Jesus walks upon and they're out there wanting to get in the boat and take a ride, and then the Lord goes walking out across the water to them. This is not just a random group of people. This is the disciples, the believers in Jesus Christ. Do you get that? And yet they're afraid. They do not recognize Jesus when he comes walking on the water. Listen, let me tell you, fear will cause us to miss Jesus. Amen. You let fear swell up in you and grow in you, my friend. What it is, fear takes away faith. It replaces faith. And my friend, first thing you know, that fear moves in. I've seen folks that today, they're sitting in the pew of the church, faithful. I mean, they've been there for weeks, months, and maybe even years. They've been faithful to the Lord. They read their Bible. They pray. I mean, they tithe. They do everything that we're supposed to do. My friend, then one day I find them. They're no longer, where's so-and-so? They quit going to church several weeks back. We haven't seen or heard from them. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. They got afraid. You say, no, that doesn't always happen. Oh, yeah, it is. The storms of life came upon them and they had no control. And the Lord came to them because they've already got fear in their life now from the storms of life, the troubles, if you will. that fear is there, and the Lord comes to try to help them, and they don't recognize Him, and they figure that God gave up on them. Some of you are there tonight. You say, what do you mean? You're at that point where you're about to just give up. I'm just being honest with you. You're there, you're just about to give up. Why? My friend, because things have been happening in your life that you have no control over, you can't do anything about, and your faith is beginning to waver, it's beginning to shake a little bit. My friend, and the Lord's coming to you, trying to speak to you. Sometimes He comes through the preacher. He's preaching a message. And boy, does it ever hit home. This is home. And it hits home. And you know what we do a lot of times? We get mad at the preacher. Because what he's preaching, he's meddling. He ought to be preaching instead of sticking his nose in our business. And all it is God. It's the Lord coming to you in your storm, trying to help you, and you don't recognize it. Amen. So you just quit. Amen. That's where the disciples are. And He recognizes that in them. And you know what He said? Be of good cheer, for it is I. He identifies Himself to them. You say, well, then explain that, Brother Danny. He does the same thing in your life. The problem is, faith has already wavered so much, you're not listening and trying to hear the voice of God. You're trying to do your own thing in this storm now. You figured you've got to take control of this thing. Honey, you ain't ever had control of nothing in your life. I don't care who you are. I found out every time I had control in my life, every time I had control, it was a disaster. Amen? I'm serious. And you're no different than me. When you and I have control, things are out of control. And so what we need to do is just give up and say, Lord, I surrender all to Thee. I surrender. Just give it all to God and say, God, I can't do anything about my situation. I can't do anything about my family situation. I can't do anything about them down there at the church. I can't do anything with them down yonder, over yonder, on the job, wherever it is. Lord, I can't do anything because I can't even do anything with myself. But Lord, I'm trusting You. God, I know You're with me. Remember, we have His promise. Or maybe I should put it this way. We have His promises. We have His promises. You can always count on the promises of God. And that's where faith comes in. Well, I don't see how He's going to. That's okay. You don't have to see how He's going to. Because if you see how He's going to, it'll scare you to death. It'll shake your little cage if you see how God's going to do something. Because you'll say, there ain't no way He can do that, not with me. And you're right. So He has to get you out of the way. And He works through faith. Because you can't see it. We just trust Him. It is I. Be not afraid. Isn't that precious? He says to one man, be of good cheer, for your sins are forgiven. Glory. He says to another, it is I. He says, be of good cheer, for it is I. Be not afraid. Isn't that glorious? Amen. Because you know what? Both of those things fits in my life. March the 27th. Did I tell you all about this? March the 27th, 1969. At Calvary Baptist Church on a Thursday night, Jesus came along and He said, be of good cheer. I was 19 years old, lost and on the road to a devil's hell. And Jesus spoke to my heart through the preaching of the Word of God. And He said, be of good cheer, because I'll forgive you your sins. And when I trusted Him as my Savior that night, He came into my heart and He forgave me of my sins. And I've been of good cheer ever since then. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. That don't mean I'm running down here to the tavern getting a drink every once in a while. Hey, I don't need that junk. That slowed me down. Amen. That takes some of my cheer away. Amen. You got to stop after a while and puke. Amen. You got to have a hangover. Amen. Praise God, when you got the cheer of the Lord in you, you don't have to stop for none of that nonsense. And what I like about it is tomorrow I can remember what I did tonight. Amen. And I don't have to be ashamed of it. I'm not afraid for any of you to find out what I did tonight. Most of all, I'm not afraid for the Lord to find out. Other than this, I just wished I'd have shouted a little more. Amen. He says, be of good cheer. Look with me a little further. Look with me in John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. In John chapter number 16, the Lord is speaking to the disciples. He's dealing with them on actually a few subjects here, but he's talking about things that they are not comprehending. He's talking about how that he's going to be taken away, how that one day he's coming again. They're having a hard time with this, and the Lord knows it. Look in verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now, the me here is whom? Jesus. Where's the Bible say here in this verse that we're going to have peace? In Jesus. So where do we have peace? Where do we have peace?
In Jesus.
Okay, remember that. This is not just to get you by tonight. This is to get you by for all of your life. Because our peace is in
Jesus.
Okay. He says, I have spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Now, I could be wrong. We've got other preachers here. They may disagree with me, and that's all right. I don't put a whole lot of stock in what they believe anyway. I'm just kidding. Y'all know that. Somewhat. I do not believe he's talking about the Great Tribulation period. I do not think he's talking about necessarily in the future, as I think he's talking about now and the future. Amen? And so he says there again, he says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Isn't that wonderful? Be of good cheer. There it is again. Just go ahead. Go ahead, smile. Thank you. He's of good cheer. I don't know why. I just said be of good cheer. Didn't give him a reason to. He just smiling anyway. A lot of times, that's about what some of us do. We have no reason. You say, well, for a Christian, we don't have to have a reason. That ain't what I find in my Bible. Every time God told them to be of good cheer, he gave them a reason to. See, if you don't have a reason, you're unscriptural. Amen. You know why I'm of good cheer? My sins are forgiven. You know why I'm of good cheer? Because Jesus is with me. I'm not afraid. Maybe there may be one or two of y'all that's packing a pistol. Probably in this crowd, one or two that ain't. Amen. That means the majority is, all right? Maybe even some high-powered. I'm talking about some loaded. I'm talking about some big guns. Amen. I'm not afraid of you, and I'm being honest as I can be. You know why? The Lord's with me. You could pull out the biggest gun. You could roll a cannon in here. Line her up right there. Old Brother Danny's standing right up front. I'm not a big guy, but surely you can hit me with a cannon. Amen? And you aim that thing right at old Brother Danny. And your intentions are to get rid of that messenger. That seems like what everybody wants to do is get rid of the messenger, as though he's the problem. It ain't the messenger that's bothering you, it's the message. And more than the message, it's the one that sent the message. You don't have a problem with a preacher. You think you do. You got to disagree with him on everything. That's not your problem. Let me tell you, in case you didn't know, your problem is the devil. Amen. And the Lord, through this man, is trying to help you get straightened out on this thing and trying to help you fight the good fight. Amen. And you think, if I get rid of the messenger, all my problems are gone. I think I've told you all this before. But if I did, that's good. And you need to hear it again, because some of you hadn't learned. That's what they thought about Stephen. Let's get rid of the messenger. So they stoned old Stephen, killed him. He's dead. Our problems are over with. Wrong. The next messenger that came along was Paul. He was worse than Stephen. So you go ahead and get rid of him. Look out. You will get one worse. There ain't nobody to be worse than him. You just wait. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, yes, 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 yes. Well, folks, listen. Here the Lord is speaking to them. Again, look at in verse number 33. He says, be of good cheer. There's always a reason. Why? He says, I have overcome the world. In truth, we have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to worry about. I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about yonder in glory land. I'm talking about right here on earth. Why? Because our God has overcome the world. Amen. You know what that means? It means the world is under subjection to Him. Lined up. Ready to light the fuse on that cannon. Go ahead. Shh. Fuse is burning down. Boom! Brother Danny's still here. The smoke's cleared. And that ball's laying somewhere between that cannon and Brother Danny. Just rolled out of the end of the barrel of that cannon. Boop, 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 boop. That's it. What happened? God stopped it. What is this about? I'm telling you, there's no need in us being afraid. God can do that. He's done it many times with folks that have tried to take their own lives. God has caused the pistol not to fire. Amen. I mean, there's several folks have taken drugs to end their life. Not always, but sometimes God he interferes with our life. Praise the Lord. That's the reason the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, He interferes with our... Glory, I'm glad He interfered in my life or I'd have died and went to hell. Amen. But God interferes, my friend. Listen, the devil can't do anything to you apart from what God allows him to. So we don't have anything to worry about. Amen. Just go ahead and be of good cheer. Why? Because God's overcome the world. Praise the Lord. There's victory in Jesus. We sing the song. We've heard about it. But most of us don't know anything about that. Why? We've never practiced what we preach. He said, what are you talking about? We're not of good cheer. We ought to be of good cheer. Why? Because the Lord's overcome this world. Praise God, isn't it? The Bible says we're more than conquerors. I'm more than a conqueror. Doesn't that look good? Amen. Brother Randy. I'm more than conqueror. I really am. I got to convince you now, don't I? Wait. We're more than conquerors. You know, it's almost like this thing has turned around. It looks like the world is more than conquerors than Christians. They're the ones that's running out here doing whatever they want to do, any way they want to do it. It's that situation again. If it feels good, do it. That's a real intelligent statement. Yeah, you jump off the Empire State Building. If you like skydiving, you'll enjoy it for a while. It'll feel good for a while. As you come gliding down and all of a sudden you realize something, the concrete is getting closer. And closer and closer and closer. And then all of a sudden it's going to feel bad for just a split second. Amen? So that theory of if it feels good, do it, is dumb. Amen. But that's where the world looks like. They're doing it. Whatever. They're those that we say, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, we're talking about the world because not everybody else is doing that. Amen? But they're doing it and looks like they're having the time. Looks like they're the ones that's running around and said, hey, we're more than conquerors. Come on, let's go get drunk. Let's get us some drugs. Come on, man, let's just do all kinds. Let's go kill somebody. Man, we're more than conquerors. It looks like it. Because they're excited about their lifestyle. Though it's going to end up in, the Bible says, in a place called hell. You say, who made you the judge? Oh, no, no, no. No one made me the judge. But he didn't make me a reader. A reader? Yeah, I can read the Bible. And the Bible tells me so. Amen. I'm just telling you what God says. If you want to argue, you'll have to take it up with him, because I don't know all that much about it. See, we like to argue because we know so much. We don't know that much, folks. So just go take it up with God, okay? But we act like the world is, they got it all together. They're the ones that, no. Wait, hold it. The picture is reversed. The truth is, we, the Christians, are more than conquerors. Amen. You see, we don't have to do the alcohol. We don't have to do the drugs. We don't have to get out and kill folks to get a thrill. Hey, you know how we do it? By being of good cheer. Ain't it good to be of good cheer? Amen. Don't it do your heart good to be of good cheer? I mean, things are still stinking in this world. But boy, it sure does feel good just to be of good cheer. Amen. And so he tells them there, remember, where's our peace? So Christian, you get mixed up in this old world, you're not going to have peace. You're going to have tribulation. Christian, I'm talking to you and I tonight that are Christians. You and I can't afford to get mixed up in the world, because there's tribulation. You get out there and get in the world, you know what you're headed for? Trouble with a capital T. Major problem. You think it's been bad? It's major problems. That old prodigal son had it rough when he was at home, didn't he? I said when he was at home. But he thought he did. He thought it's much better out there in the world. Huh? So he goes to the world. Now at home, in reality, he had peace under his father. Amen? So he says, I think it's better off out yonder. So he takes off out into the world, and all of a sudden he wastes his substance with righteous living. I mean, things just beginning to go all apart, just falling every which direction, my friend. All of a sudden the young man finds himself in tribulation. Amen. So what does he do? He goes back home. What does he find at home? Peace. Christian, now you listen to me. You don't have to leave home to be in the world. You don't have to leave the church to be in the world. You can be sitting on the front pew tonight and be in the world. You see, we got this notion, as long as I'm at church, Pastor, I'm okay. You got to admit, I'm a good Christian because I'm at church. Wrong. Wrong. Oh, is that ever so wrong? We sit there in our self-righteousness and, bless God, I'm as good as anybody else. It's not a matter of you and I being as good as each other. Let me ask you this. Do you think you're as good as Jesus Christ? Answer, no. He's the one we got to measure up to. Amen. But we sit there in our self-righteousness and we, every time, you know, some of us are doing this every service, we start comparing everything the preacher says. We got to analyze and we got to line our life up to where it lines up with that, with whatever's been said, and whatever we got to do. If we got to put a block under us to be as tall as Jesus, we'll put a block. If it takes two blocks, we'll put two. You say, you going for the third one? No. It's getting too high. I'll get a nosebleed. Amen. I'm saying in our self-righteousness, we justify whatever we do and we think we're all right. But you listen to me. Some of us are farther away from home than the prodigal son got. Amen. You know what? You know, you say, Where do you get this from? Because, my friend, listen to me, every time there's a decision to be made in our life, we go and do what the world says do. That's wrong. That's ungodliness, unrighteousness. Amen. But we justify, well, I go to church. Going to church does not cleanse us from our sins. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but going to church does not cleanse you from your sins. Amen. Doing good does not cleanse you from your sins. But we have all these things built up in us, and we start justifying why we do the things we do. Well, I don't always agree with the preacher. You know, regardless of who he is, there's some things. Have you ever sat down and took you a piece of paper and wrote down when Brother Randy, your pastor, is preaching? Have you ever wrote down the things you disagree with him on? And then have you ever made another list when Brother Danny is here preaching, all the things that you disagree with him on? And then if another preacher comes in, I believe Father Lewis came in here a while back, the Pope. Yes. I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, but the Pope's about pooped. Amen. And you make a list with Dr. Lewis of the things you disagree with him about, and another preacher and another preacher, and you make a list with all of them of the things you disagree with him about. If you'll start comparing notes, it's always the same thing with every one of them. You know why? Because you're wrong. Amen. Because you're wrong. I know that don't sit well with you, some of you, but it's the truth anyway. Amen. And besides all of that, I'm not running for any public office. I don't need your vote. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. Why? I'd like to see us be of good cheer. I'd like to see us all, everyone, 100% participation, come into the house of God at any given service and everybody be happy. I mean, instead of that, I wonder what he's going to preach on tonight. We ought to come together and say, I wonder what he's going to preach on tonight. Well, I sure hope he hits me. I want to get a little closer. Amen. I'm tired of this pitter-pattering around. I want to get closer to the Lord. Amen. We ought to be there like a bullseye. Hit me, preacher! Not because we want to argue with him. Go ahead, I'm man enough to say, oh no. Hit me, preacher, because I want to get under conviction. I want God to show me where I'm just a little off in these areas or a whole lot off. I just want to know if I'm not doing right because I want to do right. Amen. Amen. But see, most of us, we come in. When we sit down, on the inside we draw up. I hope he doesn't hit me tonight. Sure, I'm gonna sit sideways. Amen. What are you doing? I'm moving targets hard to hit. Some of you sit there that way. It's good to be here tonight, isn't it? Amen. If I followed some of the moves you made, you'd kick me out for vulgarity. Amen. Because the way you're moving in the pew, keep getting hit by the Word of God. But you know what? God don't aim like you and I aim. We're always talking about, well, preacher, I got to tell you, you stepped all over my toes tonight. God says, I told you, aim for the heart. Amen. Because that's where you get real godly business taken care of, is in the heart. It's not done in the feet. It's in the heart. Amen. So he says to him, be of good cheer. Y'all got time for a couple more? Good. Amen. Amen. Good enough. Acts. Turn with me in Acts chapter number 23. Acts 23. Bible says you have not because you ask not. So I just ask y'all if it's all right. Now I've got the liberty to go. Acts chapter number 23, verse number 11. Paul is in a situation. He's been telling folks about what Jesus has done for him. Isn't that precious? Amen. He's been witnessing and telling. I mean, Paul is one of those guys. He's not afraid to tell the king because he's not afraid of what the king might do to him because he knows he's serving the King of Kings. Okay? And so man king don't bother him because he's under control of God king.
Amen.
Amen. And so he don't mind standing nose to nose to the king. Now he's not like some of us Baptists. Look here, king, let me tell you, you don't know who you're messing with. You better look out. Somebody will blow your brains out if they could find them. Amen? Paul wasn't that kind of a Baptist preacher. Paul was the kind of Baptist preacher that just came and told you like it was without being offensive about it, so to speak, okay? He was offensive with it because the Word of God offends a whole lot of folks. Amen? But what I'm saying was he wasn't in your face. I called a preacher the other day. Here's the recording I got. This is so-and-so. Said, thank you for calling. And by the way, I'd just like to talk with you just a moment before you leave a message. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Or when you die, are you going to bust hell wide open? You know what I did? I hung up. You say, oh, you're not sure. Oh, I'm sure I hung up. Amen. I'm positive. I mean, it said end call. And I punched it. Amen. I thought, well, here he is. He has no idea who I am and what kind of condition I'm in. He should have used a little tact in his witnessing. Amen. There's ways to talk with folks about saying, do you know if you were to die today, you'd go to hell? Did you know that? Now, wait just a second. Isn't there a better way to let somebody know that without just, wow, Jesus didn't even do that. Amen. Paul is that guy that he goes and he stands before the king and he says, oh, did I tell you what happened to me on the road to Damascus? No, what happened? And Paul begins to tell him how Jesus came into his life. He told others that, my friend. Here he is in the book of Acts, and he's at a time where he's been preaching and witnessing, and the crowd does not like it, and the Bible says that they're about to tear him apart. I mean, literally rip him apart. They would have pulled his arms out of socket. I mean, completely out. His legs, his ears, his nose. They were there to kill Paul. Amen. And in verse number 11 of 23, the Bible says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him. Isn't that good? Amen. Things like that just jump out and grab me. I'm serious. The way God words things just, whoa, blesses my old heart. Amen. He says, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. Oh, there it goes again. Be of good cheer. Okay. That ain't what he's talking about when he says be of good cheer. Again, the word cheer means to encourage. Amen. Here's one of the meanings. It means to build a fire under. You say, what does that mean? Fire you up. Get you excited. Paul is at a place where he could have gotten discouraged, down and out, because the crowd wanted to kill him. And my friend, that very night, the Lord is there and he begins to speak to him. And he says, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You know what God's telling him? Paul, be of good cheer. You're going to get to tell somebody else about Jesus. Amen. Boy, that ought to cheer us up. Man, we get to go to work in the morning, get there on the job, and we get to tell somebody about Jesus. You want to have a rough day? Just think about yourself. Just go to that job, wherever you're going, and just talk about you. That'll ruin a day for you and everybody else around you. Amen. You want to have a good day? Honest. You want to have a good day? Get up in the morning and go to church. Go to work. Purpose in your heart. You're going to tell everybody you can about Jesus. You come into contact with somebody, I don't know how you go to work, maybe you punch a card there in the clock or whatever, you know, but you get there and the first one you go, you run into, you say, well, I tell you, let me tell you what happened last night. I went to church. I'm telling you, we had a time. Now, first of all, when you say I went to church, that's going to kind of turn them off. But when you start saying, man, we had a wild time. I mean, it was wild. They're going, tell me what happened. They're going to want to know because they ain't never heard of church and wild time together. Amen? And so then you get to telling them, well, I tell you, I went to church last night. I was down. I mean, I could walk under the pews. Amen. I was so low. Man, I got there to church and preacher got to preaching the word of God. Well, God got to speaking to my heart about being a good cheer. Man, I had myself time sitting on that pew. I mean, I was so close to shouting. I'll tell you what, when I got home, I did just go, whoa. Amen. I was so excited. I mean, it was good. I mean, I left there instead of being so down. Instead of going under the pew, I wanted to go over the pew. Amen. I mean, I was so excited. I mean, it was so good. Amen. Boy, God really spoke to my... Woo! You're going to be having time at work tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You are. You see, we don't do that. Normal people don't do that. Christians do. Christians do. Paul's just not afraid of going to work and them being against him. They're already against him. They're wanting, literally, look in verse number 10. Verse number 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them. That's exactly what Paul was facing. Them grabbing hold and just jerking bone and marrow, everything out of him. But God encouraged him. He said, be of good cheer, Paul, because you're going to get to witness for me. Boy, listen, you get down and out, what you need to do is go tell somebody about Jesus. That'll lift you up. That'll excite you. It'll get things going, my friend. Even if they don't get saved. I know we always say, well, what if they don't get saved? Listen to me. You've done what you're supposed to do. You've told them about Jesus. And they may not get saved today, but they might tomorrow. And if they don't tomorrow, they may the next day. And it could be years from now. Do you know there's still folks getting saved because Noah built an ark? Amen. Boy, don't you know old Noah said, went to the pastor's meeting the other day. They told me what a failure I was. It didn't reach anybody. Didn't reach anybody. Noah. That was thousands of years ago. Unlike they tell us billions of years ago. It was a few thousand years ago. It was a few thousand years ago you built that ark. Just this last Sunday, I heard a preacher preaching about you building that ark because God told you to. He preached about that door, how that Jesus is the door. He preached about the only way in is through the door. Why, I saw folks come forward in that invitation and get saved. Noah, you're not a failure. Don't you let the devil make you think you're a failure. You get to tell folks about Jesus and His saving grace. Be of good cheer. We get to witness again tomorrow. Amen. Then let me share another one with you. Some of y'all are not coming back tomorrow. So I want to give you enough that you won't feel cheated. Amen. Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. Again, Paul, in another, as we would say, sad situation. Another storm in Paul's life. He's told them, said, we shouldn't set sail, but they don't listen. He's preaching to some Baptists. Amen. And they won't listen. They go ahead and set sail, and sure enough, great storm comes. And that storm hits, and it blows and hits them for 14 days. Well, things are terrible. I mean, the men on that ship are so afraid. I mean, they've been throwing things overboard, trying to get things to where they can control it. And again, the storm is out of control in their life. And then Paul tells them, those men on that ship. Now, he's on the very ship with them, but in verse 22, look. I know there's good stuff all through these scriptures, but look at verse 22. And now, he's speaking to the men, I exhort you to be of good cheer. There it is again. Storm raging. Hey, just be of good cheer. That could mean, be of good cheer, Rolf, if you get killed. That ain't what it means, is it? Because, again, it's not just be of good cheer, but it's what follows that. Look what he says. He says, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. That's good reason to rejoice, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know, we've got that same promise, don't we? Amen. It's not that if anyone makes it, surely I will. No, 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 no. It ain't if anyone makes it, I'm going to make it. Why? It's already been made. Amen. Jesus has already paid the price. It's all paid in full. I'm going His way. Hallelujah. I'm not going my way. I'm not trying to make it. I'm going His way, the way He's already made. Amen. So we don't have to worry about it. Paul begins to encourage them. Notice now in verse number 25. In verse number 25, he's still speaking to them. He says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Amen. That's good enough right there. Hey, if I stand up here and I'm the preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but all I say, if I'd have got up tonight and just said, folks, I just want to give you this message, and I just read those few words, be of good cheer. Now let's all be dismissed. That ain't worth much. But if we give a reason why we should be of good cheer, that might change things. Be of good cheer, for thy sins are forgiven. Now, I can go home with that. Amen. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I can go home with that. Be of good cheer. We get to witness. Praise God. That's good to go home with. Amen. Paul is telling these fellas now, be of good cheer, for there shall not any of you lose your life. Then he says, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. God had already told him, Paul, it's going to be all right. Amen. Boy, isn't this glorious? Look what God's given us tonight. You say, Brother Danny, boy, it's getting late. Really? That's what you're concerned with tonight? That's your big deal tonight, is hurrying up and getting out of here? Is that what you're so wrapped up in? My goodness great! In a world where there seems to be nothing to cheer up about, my friend, God's just exploding and giving us all kinds of reasons to be of good cheer, and we're in a hurry to get checked out. Whew. We sure are backslidden, aren't we? If there's one of you here tonight that's saved, and you're in a hurry to get up and get gone, you're backslidden on God. You say, you have no right to say, well, who does? I'll go get them to say it then. I beg your pardon, I do have a right. My friend, you listen to me. You ought to be so excited about what the good Lord of heaven is doing. Amen. Time should not matter. Amen. It ought to be better than a ball game. We'll just look at it like this. We're going into overtime. That ought to excite some of you. Amen. He says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Verse 36. Verse 36 there in chapter number 27. Things are... Every time Paul tells them to be of good cheer, things get worse. It really does. Oh, how would you like that? Be of good cheer. Things get worse. Be of good cheer. They get worse. Amen. Paul said to them the third time, in this same storm, the same storm. It's not three different storms. It's not even two different storms. It's all the same storm. It's bad. It gets more badder and most bad. Amen? It goes from awful to terrible to terribly awful. It's just awful. And yet we find Paul still sticking with that theme. The same theme that he started out with those men. Be of good cheer. We find Paul still hollering it out to those men. Hey, you say hollering it out? Well, the storm is raging. The winds are blowing. The waves are slapping against that ship. As a matter of fact, the ship is breaking into pieces. It's not quiet. I believe old Paul's having to holler at him. Be of good cheer. Amen. He's not mad at him. He's wanting to make sure he gets their attention and they get focused on the message and not on the circumstances. Amen. Well, that's pretty good preaching. I never thought of that before. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I've always said he's the best preacher. There he is. Amen. Paul says to them again there in verse number 36. I'm not finished yet. Okay, yeah, verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. At Paul has been encouraging them to be of good cheer, be of good cheer. And now, the third time, he says, they're all of good cheer. Well, isn't it something that here's a man that has practiced being of good cheer, being of good cheer, being of good cheer, and now he's able to encourage others to be of, that I told you that's what I want to be. I want to be an encourager. Amen. Folks may never know my name. Some will say, you know Danny Long? No, I don't. He's that guy one hand. Oh, yeah, I know him. I don't care. That don't bother me none. Because they can know Danny Long and die and go to hell. But if they know the God that I'm preaching about, amen. I want to be an encourager. Paul has become an encourager. Can you believe this? In the same storm that all those men are in, Paul is in it. He stands to lose as much as they do, his life. Amen. You say, no, he's saved, but he could get killed just like them. But we find Paul in a time where most of us Christians are saying, well, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I don't know. And the preacher says, I don't either, man. We're having it so bad at our house, too. Things are just looking so bad. I don't know what we're going to do. At a time where that's the way we're encouraging each other. Remember last night? That's the way we encourage each other, try to top one another's story about the bad times. Amen? Instead of that, Paul, he don't have a sad story to tell. He's been beaten. He's been left outside a city, stoned. I don't mean drunk. I'm talking about with rocks, and left for dead. I mean, he's been beaten and thrown into jail many, many, many times. But he has no sad, not, I never hear a sad story of Paul's. Instead of that, he's an encourager. Amen. You know what God wants us to be, folks? An encourager. A Sunday school teacher is not worth a penny if they can't encourage. I don't care how well you study your lesson and how you put it out. If you're not an encourager, you're not worth nothing. Amen. Preachers, we're the same way. Amen. Whatever you do for the Lord, if you don't encourage folks in it, you know what? You're a flop. You say, well, that's just your opinion. Take it up with God. Because you know what everybody needs? Everyone needs encouragement. But if we're not careful, we'll give the wrong kind of encouragement. Every time it was mentioned to be of good courage or be of good cheer, it was always for godly reasons. Amen. Folks, listen to me tonight. I don't know everyone here, and I don't know anyone else's heart other than my own. And then the Bible says this about my own heart. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? But tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I didn't ask you if you were a member of a church. I didn't ask you if you were Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or nothing or anything or everything. I didn't ask you any of that. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not concerned with that. I'm not asking you if you give to the church, if you tithe, whatever. I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking if you do good works. I'm not asking. I'm not asking tonight. I'm not concerned with your Bible reading program that you have. I'm not interested in your prayer life. I'm interested in your soul being saved. Are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ lives in your heart because you ask Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and save you? Do you have that assurance tonight? And it's got to be based upon the fact that you did ask Him to come in. Amen. Do you know that for sure? I'm talking about, listen to me, not 99.9%. I'm talking about 100% sure. You better be that sure, because that 0.1 could be enough to take you to hell. Amen. Do you know? You say, nobody can know that. Oh, yeah, we can know that. I know that. And look like a couple more of you slipped your hand up. I don't know if it's an accident or what. I got a feeling it's cause you know. Because God gives us a no-so salvation. Do you know that for sure? Listen to me. I'm not here to intimidate you. I'm here to invite you to come to Jesus. Not to me, not to this pastor, not to that pastor, nor to any other preacher, nor any group of people, or anybody. I'm asking you tonight to come to Jesus for salvation. You say, well, I need a little help. I need a little guidance. I understand that's the reason God's given us the church. We have pastors here that can help guide you, point you in the direction you need to go tonight. That'll be to Jesus. Amen. You need to come tonight so that when you leave here tonight, you'll be one of those that says, I know for sure. I'm positively sure my sins are forgiven. They're under the blood of Jesus because I asked Him to forgive me. And He said He would, and I believe Him. And I'm saved. You can leave here tonight knowing that. Now listen, Christians, be of good cheer. You say, Brother Danny, but I'm going through a tough time. Be of good cheer because your sins are forgiven. Not because of the tough time you're going through, but because your sins are forgiven. That even works when you're going through tough times. Amen. Be of good cheer. Well, why? Because the Lord's with us. Be not afraid. It's Him that's with us and guiding us and walking with us and talking with us and fellowshipping with us. On and on and on, be of good cheer. Why not, Christian, come to the altar tonight and say, Dear God, I'm not here to complain. I have nothing to gripe about. Lord, I just come ask You to forgive me for the many times I've not been of good cheer that I've wasted in my life because I should have been having good cheer. I should have been happy and excited about serving You, Lord. And I just haven't been. God, I'm asking You to forgive me. Now, Lord, thank You for forgiving me. And, Lord, I just want to say thank You for the good cheer that You've put in my soul tonight. Why don't You come and do that tonight? Let's all stand. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. The pastor's going to be standing up front to help you. Christians, you ought to just, when you stand up, I found it's easy to do like this right here. Look at me right quick. It's easy. This is the easiest way to do it. What are you saying? Get up and walk to the altar. If you wait and hesitate, the devil begins to give you reasons why you shouldn't. Y'all just come tonight. Tonight, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around. You say, Preacher, I'm one of those that is lost. Preacher, I don't know that heaven would be my home. I'm not a bad person. Okay, that's fine. But we're not talking about good or bad. We're talking about saved. Tonight, do you know Jesus is your Savior? You say, Preacher, I don't. I remember when I was 19 years old and God spoke to my heart. And I was afraid if I were to die that night, I'd go to hell because I didn't know Jesus as my Savior, but I'm glad I went forward in that service. and ask Jesus to come into my heart. Greatest thing I ever did, for He saved me that night, and I've been saved ever since. Why? Because He gives us eternal life. Why don't you come tonight? You say, preacher, it's me. Would you pray for me, preacher? I need courage to step out and trust Jesus. Preacher, would you remember me in this prayer? Now, you don't have to say a word to get me to pray for you. For you to get me to pray for you, all you got to do is raise your hand right quick, drop it back down. I'll pray for you without coming to you. No one else will come to you. We're not here to embarrass you, but I sure would like to pray for you tonight. And I'll just pray, Lord, you saw the hand of that one tonight. Would you save them? That's how I'll pray for you. Would you like to be prayed for tonight? Would you like to be prayed for tonight? Just slip your hand up. Would you do that tonight? Is there one? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Anyone else tonight like to get in on this? Pray for me, preacher. I'd like to know my sins are forgiven. I'd like to know heaven's my home. Is there one more right quick? Going to pray. Don't miss out on it. Is there another one? What about you, Christian, tonight? Is there somebody that says, preacher, God's told me to be of good cheer. I know His word teaches it, but I just haven't. I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. My fellowship with Him is not what it ought to be. Preacher, would you pray for me tonight that I'll get things right between me and Him? Is there one like that? Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Are there others tonight? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for those that raise their hand and they're lost. Now, you're going to have to do something about it yourself. I'll just pray for you. That's all I can do. You're the ones going to have to make the move and accept Jesus. I'm going to pray for you that raised your hand that you're not where you ought to be with God, but you're going to have to do something. You can't just stand there and it happen. You got to come to God and ask Him to do it. He'll do that work. You don't have to. Just let Him. That's all you got to do is give up. I'm going to pray for you, but you got to do it. Father, Lord, you know our hearts tonight. Some have raised their hand, Lord, that they're lost, and they want us to pray for them. Lord, what an honor it is that you would let me, an old sinner saved by grace, pray for someone else that's a sinner and not yet saved. I pray for them tonight. I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that you would encourage them in such a way that they'd step out tonight and come to this pastor and take him by the hand and say, Pastor, I'm lost tonight, but I want to be saved. I pray tonight they'd do that. I pray, Lord, and God, I know what this pastor's going to do. He's going to bring them to you. And Lord, they're going to pray and ask you to save them. And God, I know what you're going to do. You're going to save them. Help them to do it tonight. There might be others that didn't raise their hand. Lord, bring such conviction upon them that they'd realize, Lord, they could walk out of here tonight. And Lord, they could go out into eternity through a car wreck or something like that. Or Lord, they may go out of here tonight, never have an accident like that at all. Lord, not get killed in the next few days or weeks or months or even years, but never again have the Holy Spirit of God speak to their hearts about coming. Lord, that'd be disastrous because they could never get saved without this. Lord, but tonight, would you speak to their heart, help them to come and get saved? Then Lord, these Christians that have raised their hand tonight, that they're not where they ought to be. Lord, you brought them this way. You brought them this far tonight to show them where they are and where they're not. Lord, help them tonight, Lord, not to be satisfied with just raising their hand and admitting it, but help them, Lord, to come tonight to a God that loves them. Lord, I know how you work. If they step out, you're going to run to them and meet them, fall upon their neck and kiss them. Lord, having compassion, help them to come tonight. Lord, have thine own way tonight in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Let's keep our heads bowed. As God deals with your heart, would you come? Would you come? Don't let this time pass you by. Don't be foolish tonight. God has taken time to come your way and speak to your heart. Don't let it slide by. Come tonight. You raised your hand, you were lost. Would you come tonight and trust Jesus as your Savior? Come to Him. Come on. Step. If I had to crawl over a pew to do it, I'd do it tonight. Why? It's that important. Would you come? Would you come? Come on. You raised your hand. You raised your hand. You were lost. You wanted me to pray for you. I did. That didn't get you saved. But I prayed for you. Now God says to you, come. Will you come? You raised your hand. It was you that did. I didn't come back there and raise it for you. Won't you come? Doesn't it mean enough to you that God sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for you? Why don't you come tonight and accept Him as your Savior? Come on, Christian, what are you waiting on? You say, well, folks have already been to the altar now and they've gone back. Hey, that doesn't matter. God doesn't have to deal with a bunch at a time. He deals with us individually. Why don't you come tonight? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on tonight. Why would you put Him off? If He's brought this to your attention tonight, you ought to, as a Christian, you ought to love Him enough to come and say, Lord, thank You for bringing it to my attention. Lord, forgive me and help me. Won't you come? Come on tonight. Come on tonight. Going to turn it over to the pastor. He might close just that quick. You'd be standing there saying, oh, if I had another opportunity. You've got it right now. Won't you come? Your decision. I wonder who else is watching as you make or do not make your decision. I wonder who it's going to affect tonight. Pastor.
Be of good cheer. Boy, God is good all the time.